Welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and we have plenty of things to talk about. Match day 4 has just ended today. It is Thursday, October 1st, and here we are. There is a lot to talk about. A lot of things actually happened today as opposed to yesterday when Real Madrid actually played. So there is quite a few things to talk about. So I think really quickly, one of the things, before we get into all that, let's do a quick social media so you guys can know where to find me and where to find us, as I say. Because I also have people editing the show as well as helping me gather information. So to follow us, you can check us out at Y Nada Más Podcast, and that is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So once again, that's at Y Nada Más Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Probably where we're most active is on Twitter, because Real Madrid Twitter is on fire always. Not always in a good way, but that's probably where you can find us the most. And I personally like Instagram a lot, so you'll find I try to put a lot of stuff out there on Instagram as much as I can. I'm a designer, I do design and production as well, so I try to put some cool stuff together and some content, but always doesn't always give me time with my day job and this. But I love the gram, so you can find some stuff there as well. In addition to that, you can find our podcasts pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. That is Apple Podcasts, that is on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, you name it. You guys can find it there. And in addition, you can find it on our website at ynadamas.net. As well, you can also send us any emails, any comments, any things like that. I mean, comments, you can always, hit us up on social media. But if you want to send us any direct messages and things like that and want to get in touch with us directly, please check us out at info@ynadamas.net. That is our direct email address. In addition to that, let me think, am I missing anything? All I wanted to say is thank you very much to everybody that's been following. The results have actually been pretty good on the podcast. There are some great podcasts out there for Real Madrid content in English. That's what we've been aiming to do here. There's some great podcasts. Obviously, Managing Madrid is the big one. Churros y Tácticas is another one that they also do with one of the guys from Barca TV. So it's kind of like, the rivals chatting with each other. But a lot of great stuff out there, guys. So really, I appreciate you guys tuning in to this podcast that's brand new, supporting, and it's pretty awesome. So thank you very much for that. And I just wanted to say, one of the things that we are trying to do as well is put together a blog and everything so that people can, we want to get more writers and things like that. So if you're interested in sports writing and interested in trying to dip your toe in that pool, pretty much, please let us know. Hit us up at info@ynadamas.net, as we are trying to start that on the website as well. But you can find on our website, is all the episodes as well, if you don't want to follow them on on your podcast subscription service or whatever, you just want to listen to them on there, you can also listen to them on there. So let's get to kind of the things that have happened. So obviously, match day 4 actually began on Tuesday, and today is Thursday. So I initially wanted to do the podcast yesterday night, but I kind of wanted to, I like to do it after all the match days have ended. So after all the matches for the, for that match day have ended. So pretty much this has extended over Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But then in addition, I guess if I would have done it yesterday, there's a lot of cool stuff that has happened as of late, obviously. So obviously we had today the draw for the Champions League. And Real Madrid they were in Group B, and Real Madrid got Shakhtar Donetsk, Inter, and Borussia Mönchengladbach. So actually a pretty good, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think one of the issues, and that's something I wanted to talk to before we go into sort of analyzing the game against Valladolid, which was on Wednesday, is, Real Madrid Twitter, damn, man, you guys are brutal. Like, some people, some Real Madrid fans just got no faith. And obviously, I think that has to do with the media in Spain. And I think sometimes being a Madridista on the outside looking in, and I remind you guys that I'm based in Miami, which is pretty much like South America now. So, but I'm based in Miami. But I'm telling you, man, when you look at, I follow everything, and I'm a Spanish speaker, so I follow everything that's going on in Spain politically or otherwise as well. And, you know, so I follow things like, you know, El Larguero, El Chiringuito, and just Spanish media is just wild, man. You know, even it's just, and especially with Madrid and Barcelona, and it's like those two teams exist, and then no other teams exist, which I understand, they're the two biggest teams, but it's just so crazy because there is that, obviously that definite rivalry, of course, but you have a lot of Madridistas that, I like to use that term, crabs in a bucket. So I don't know if you've ever seen this, you know, some of you might not be familiar with that term, but crabs in a bucket refers to, if you put crabs in a bucket, like a bunch of crab, the crabs will try to, you know, climb their way out of the bucket, but there's always a crab that is going to try to, that will, is also trying to get out of the bucket. So what they do is, if one crab is on his way to finally get out of the bucket, the other crabs will do their best to drag him back down. So at the end of the day, none of the crabs get out of the bucket. You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of times, a lot of Madridistas, and this is being self-critical, you guys are crabs in a bucket, which means like nothing good ever happens. You know, for some people, nothing that Madrid does is ever good enough. And I understand we have this concept as Madridistas that, you know, winning is the only option. But you also have to understand that this is not the same team that we had a couple years ago. Cristiano's gone. Bale is gone. La BBC is gone. You know, the BBC is gone. Those guys are all gone. So this is a reshaping of a team. And then there's all this hatred against Zidane, and it's also coming from the media as well. So it's not just Madridistas. But I think sometimes as Madridistas, we jump onto this stuff. And it's like, you know, what are the decisions that he's making? And, I disagree with some of Zidane's decisions, you know, and I've said it before in the last two or three podcasts where it's, you know, with Jovic and, you know, I want to see him play more. I really think he's a talented guy. I really think we should be using him. And I do feel that we rely, obviously, on Benzema too much. And there are certain things, you know, sometimes we... You know, obviously there's things that are proven and unproven because, you know, sometimes we say, oh, Marcelo is a liability when it comes to defending. But I think if we look at the Real Madrid versus Valladolid game, you know, I think Marcelo did a great job. You know, he's still one of the best left backs that have played the game, in my opinion, and that we've had, you know, at Madrid. And sure, he's getting older and he's losing pace, but he's still so talented and still so... you know, in Spanish, they use that word desequilibrante, you know, which is, you know, that you destabilize the defense because you can dribble, you make plays. And Marcelo still has that. But so there's a lot of just always like this negativity that comes out. And a lot of negativity has come out, obviously, in these first three games because we tied the first game against Sociedad. Then, you know, we had a rough time with Betis. And then it was a tough game against Valladolid. But it's like, it's the beginning of a season. It's been a crazy, let's think about what last season was with COVID-19 and everything that's going on with this pandemic. It's thrown everything in disarray. So a lot of teams have Madrid didn't have basically a preseason. We've been trying to figure out how to find goals that we've been lacking because we obviously lost one of our prime goal scorers and probably the best goal scorer. Pretty much soon he might be the best goal scorer of all time. So we're losing all that. And then people expect that we're just going to win, 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 win. Or we're going to do it beautifully like we used to do it. The team is coming around. I mean, I think there shouldn't be a lot of negativity in the sense that we haven't lost a game. We haven't looked great, but we haven't lost a game. It's only three games into the season for Real Madrid. Four games for some of the other teams, two games for some of the other teams, and three games for Real Madrid. And we haven't lost a game. Now, granted, we've also played teams that are not easy teams usually. Real Betis has not been a team that has been easy as of late. Neither has Real Sociedad. You know, Valladolid is not a team that was last season they did actually pretty well. I just don't think there's this cause for concern yet. Yeah, sure, because I think what it is we want to see buckets and buckets and buckets of goals. But I think what we're trying to do and what Zidane is trying to do is find the right way to find those goals. Have we gotten rid of players that maybe could have given us goals? Sure. But I think it's really too soon to be incredibly pessimistic. And the thing is, the media in Madrid will jump, the media in Spain, especially, and then Madrid, of course, is going to jump all over anything that happens with Madrid. Anything that happens with Madrid. Good, bad, it doesn't matter. There's always some sort of criticism. And then you have, you know, our rivals in Barcelona, which will do the same thing and jump on us at all time. But the funny thing is, Barcelona has two good games against teams that are whatever. You know, Celta was fighting against relegation last season. And the other team they beat was Villarreal, which I think everybody was expecting to see more from Villarreal, and they just haven't shown up, except for this match day. But they haven't been a powerful team. And granted, Barcelona has Ansu Fati now, which I do give credit to that, because that kid is looking good. But it's still two games into the season. And today they were talking about Messi's back and all this type of stuff. And we don't even know yet. You know, we don't even know. Sure, he did a great dribble. He played a great game in some aspects against Celta. But besides that, it's just too soon for either to celebrate one team as being absolutely dominant or celebrating or saying that Real Madrid has been absolutely dismal. It's way too early. To the Real Madrid Twitter, I say, stop being crabs in a bucket. You know, stop dragging your team down. And let's kind of rally around them until they are total shit. And then we can actually say, hey, you know, they've been doing really bad. So with that said, really, once again, like the UCL draw was today, or the Champions League draw was today. And Real Madrid got Shakhtar Donetsk, Inter in Borussia Mönchengladbach, which I think, honestly, I think this is a group for us to lose. I'm cautiously optimistic because it's not an easy group, because Borussia Mönchengladbach has some pretty good players on their team, like Plea, and you know, he's a good, great goal scorer. And then you also have Inter, who obviously is going through an entire revamping. Now they have Hakimi, which, you know, I don't think we should have let him go, but you know, now they have Hakimi, they have Lukaku, Lautaro Martinez, they have Alexis Sanchez. Man, they have quite a few great players on that team. So they're a tough squad to beat. Conte is a good coach. So, but it's really, for me, if Real Madrid is firing on all cylinders when we get to those games, it is going to be a battle between Real Madrid and Inter. And I am cautiously optimistic because I don't think any team is really easy. But by some of Madrid, you know, some Madridistas' comments on Twitter, you would think that we like drew the group of death, you know, that we got like Bayern and, you know, Liverpool and shit. I don't know, if somebody else, like we got Bayern, Liverpool and PSG or something. And we didn't. This is a doable group, you know, so let's be optimistic about that. And then the other news, obviously, is that Borja Mayoral has gone to Roma on loan, and with an option to buy for them at the end of the season. To be honest, I'm not a huge Mayoral fan, and I am more of a Jovic fan. And I really feel like if we go into the game right now in a few moments and talk about the game, it was a good showing from Jovic the other day. So I really want to see what else he can bring. And this has got, like, once again, a proven goal scorer, like I was talking about a few podcasts ago, is that if we were to compare their goal to game ratio, pretty much 36 goals, Jovic scored 36 goals for Frankfurt in 75 appearances. And that is a you know, goal to game ratio of 0.48. And then Borja Mayoral had 14 goals for Levante in 69 games with a goal to game ratio of 0.2. So Jovic had more than double the goal to game ratio in the amount of appearance and almost the same amount of appearances. It was really roughly six more games. He played six more games than Mayoral did. So I really think we just got to find him and you know, find his form. And he really looked good on Wednesday against Valladolid. So let me get into that. Let's get into that game a little bit. So let's start it off with the little thing that I like to play. So because we won the game.
Vamos, Madrid!
Yes. And yeah, it's not a game to be entirely excited about, for sure. A 1-0 win, you know, once again, by the skin of our teeth and grinding it out, definitely isn't one thing that we want to say, you know, we want to celebrate. But it isn't killing us either. As much as the press and everything want to talk about, you know, how bad Madrid is doing and how bad, like, we can't find our pace and find our goals, but I just don't think it's time to be so worried about it yet. Okay, so honestly, this is how I looked at the game. I actually saw the game. So I work from home, so I have to do, you know, a lot of work for my regular day job from my house. But I have, you know, a variety of different monitors. And so what happens is I have one monitor playing the game. So really, I was watching the game, but I was kind of tuned in and out. And from everything I could see, it was just a total, I don't know. I was looking at the game and I was just like getting super frustrated, but I was also stressed with my work. And I remember tweeting and I think I was like just incredibly frustrated. And I think I was going along and eating up everything that I was seeing on Real Madrid Twitter or football Twitter. And I was like, this is a totally terrible game. Madrid is terrible. Da, 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 da. You know, go on and on and on. Any adjective you want to add to how bad they are, you know? So when I first saw the game, it seemed worse than it really was, because what I mean by that is that I actually got a chance to sit down later in the evening. You know, my kids had gone to bed, my wife went to bed. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch the entire game again. And that's what I do. That's what I do, because I do it for you guys. Because I want to, you know, I really want to get more into obviously understanding tactics and understanding, you know, more things. And then obviously I look up to some of these guys at Managing Madrid and these other podcasts that, you know, they sit down with pen and paper and really analyze. And that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to see, okay, where are we doing things wrong? And to be honest with you, when I sat down and watched the game a second time, a lot calmer, I took away a lot more positives from it than I did in the first go around. Now, Zidane started again with a 4-4-2, you know, and Jovic's positives was he looked a lot better. I think he's really on his way to getting a goal for sure. And he does have that killer instinct we're looking for. He was very close on two occasions to scoring a goal. He missed one that, yes, was a sitter pretty much. Great pass from Fede Valverde, who's running up and down, you know, the right flank. Well, kudos to Modric for playing it out of the back. And we'll get into Modric in a few minutes. But he played it out of the back, passed Isco. Isco, quick pass out to Fede Valverde. And Fede Valverde just sped up that right-hand flank and he was running up there. And then beautiful pass, beautiful cross to Jovic. And then Jovic, you know, he missed, you know, he shot it wide pretty much. But then, you know, from there, it was a close shot. He didn't sky it. It was a close shot. And then there was another occasion where it hit the side netting on a beautiful play again from Modric. And then there was a third occasion where the goalie came up with a huge save to stop his header. And then Casemiro tried to get the ball in the goal, and it actually ended up hitting the crossbar. So they were very close on two occasions. His movement was great throughout the game. I think I even feel he did better than Benzema in this game. So for me, after one game where he was sort of just playing as a decoy, which was the game that we had against Betis, to a game where he was now making a lot cleaner runs, he looked a lot more, you know, in tune with the game, or as they say in Spanish, enchufado, he was plugged into the game. He looked like he was, he was moving well. He was making great runs. He was picking not great passes. He was doing he did a great 1-2 play with Marcelo that opened up a shot for Marcelo. That there was another great save from the Valladolid goalkeeper. So, you know, it was an overall great game from Jovic. And I think, once again, I think he is the epitome of what I like to call a quiet killer. We don't hear him speak too much. He just kind of sits there in the sidelines with that very Serbian Slavic scowl of his, just kind of sitting there analyzing the game, almost angry looking. But I love that. You know, I love that. It seems like he's got this edge to him that we definitely need. You know, we need that edge. We need that sort of anger. And I feel like Jovic has that, and we just haven't tapped into it yet. One of the things that really just totally made me a fan of the guy even more today was, in the UEFA Champions League did the draw, and we had Shakhtar Donetsk, Inter, and Mönchengladbach as our opponents. And this dude posts a story on his Instagram of him scoring a goals against each one of our future opponents when he was at Eintracht Frankfurt. And for me, that's him telling us, you know, as Madrid fans, this is what I'm capable of, and maybe telling Zidane, this is what I'm capable of, and I've already done it against the opponents that we're going to face. Sure, they're not the same teams, you know, but he's also not on the same team that he had at Frankfurt. For all intents and purposes, he's on a better team that just hasn't found their way yet. So, honestly, I feel like he's not a diamond in the rough. He's a proven goal scorer that we just got to get back to his winning ways again. And win, and it's like, you know, you always see in the movies when they show like a sniper, and the sniper has, you know, he has his scope, and like he's got to adjust his sights. You know, he's got to adjust his sights. And then, you know, you see kind of like when they're showing movies, like these war movies where there's like artillery, and they launch artillery and they miss the first shot. And then they kind of tell him, okay, you got to move up a couple of degrees, and then, you know, move to the left a couple more degrees. So they're fine-tuning the sights. That's what they're doing. They're fine-tuning the sights to hit the target. And that's what Jovic is doing. And he hasn't been able to do it because he hasn't had minutes. But now he's getting minutes. And that is what we're seeing. And in two games, honestly, from one game to the next, it was a huge improvement. So I think we have to look at that as this is the positive. And now that Mayoral is gone, and from everything we're seeing in the media, at least that I've seen on Twitter today, it seems that Zidane, maybe like what he saw from Jovic this last game. Obviously, he's still not saying anything, and they have until October 5th to make any, you know, final sale or loan deals with the guy. But at this point, if Mayoral is leaving, I don't think Jovic is going to leave, or we're not going to have a backup striker, because I definitely don't think it's going to be Mariano. So, you know, I really think he's our guy. I think we're going to find something with him. I think Hazard, honestly, guys, I don't think Hazard is as badly injured as they say he is. I think this is all a game that they have to play, that Real Madrid has to play, because they got to watch out for Hazard, and they don't want him going on international break. Obviously, that's pretty shitty if they're doing that for Belgium. But at this point, as a Madrid fan who's not Belgian, I think it's great. If they are pulling that ploy, kudos to them, you know, because if he's ready for a Clásico, and if he's ready for UCL games, and we get the Hazard that we need to see, that the Hazard that was at Chelsea, I don't care how they do it. Let's do it. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of feeling that that's what they're doing. They're making sure that this guy does not go out there and get injured. If they would have played him against Valladolid, and they would play him this weekend against Levante, he was going to get called up. And then there's always that risk of losing him, especially now that these games that they're playing are no longer friendlies, you know? So they're from Nations League, and you know, it's, yes, it's kind of a glorified friendly. I mean, it's yeah, it's pretty much like a glorified friendly, pretty much, but it's still important, you know, and he's going to want to represent for his country. And I have no problem with that, but we definitely want to see him healthy at Madrid. And I think he wants to see him healthy at Madrid because he wants to be healthy at Madrid because he doesn't play as much with Madrid. He plays more with Real Madrid than he does with Belgium. You know, he's getting his money from Madrid. So I'm pretty sure, and he feels like he has something to owe him, something that he has to show Madrid. So I think that's what he's doing. And I still got, you know, I got trust in these guys, man. I'm a Madridista. I am not a crab in the bucket, man. I'm not going to hate on the guys until there's something to be really critical about, you know? So if we want to get into things that, you know, I'm critical about so that you don't think I'm just, you know, like, you know, just saying everything that they're doing is great. You know, Benzema was not at his best. Benzema was not at his best at Valladolid. I think one going against the other Madridistas that hate on this man are fools, because it's just he, besides Ronaldo, he was the man that was getting us goals. And besides guys like him and Bale together, him, Bale and Ronaldo together, all three of them were important to us. Now he's alone and he has to find other people to associate with. And so it's not always going to be that he's going to have his best game, but he does a lot for the team that is aside from just scoring, you know? So we really got to take a look at all that stuff and you know, see that he's not always going to have the best game. But Zidane also has to know that if he's not having the best game, then we have a backup striker. And, you know, he shouldn't be afraid to play Jovic because I want him to get more minutes. It wasn't as a good game for him. He never seemed to find his footing. He had difficulty controlling the ball and making some quality passes. He had quite a few lost balls during the game, and really just never seemed to be once again enchufado, plugged into the game, you know. So it was a bad game for Benzema. It was a great game for Jovic. You know, talking about Modric, it was, you know, once again, you know, I think to myself, name another midfielder that at 35 years old is looking like Modric and playing like Modric is right now with any team at a high level, you know, at a top team in the world, is playing at 35 years old the way that Modric is playing in midfield. I mean, he's just still a creative genius, quality passes, created a bunch of goal attempts. You know, he pretty much did, for the first cross that Jovic missed, was really genius move by Modric to get the ball out of the defensive zone, moved it up, passed it to Isco, and Isco rushed it out to Fede. And that's how he got out of there so quickly. But he had two defenders that tried to take away the ball from him, and it was just stuck to his feet. Looked beautiful. He created another chance that Jovic actually hit into the side netting. He looked great. He was going up and down the field. He was recovering balls. He had another shot, the shot that hit the post, which was beautiful, that he recovered the ball in the defensive area of just right outside the penalty area or the 12-yard box of Valladolid. He makes a tackle, recovers the ball, makes a shot, and the shot unfortunately hits the post. He had a fantastic game, and he's 35 years old, guys. One of my favorite players in the world, if not my favorite player, well, besides Cristiano Ronaldo, but he's a goal scorer. But Modric, in his creative element, has just been one of my favorite players forever. I mean, I tell you guys all the time that I named my son after him. So, you know, I just think that was a great game for him, and that was something that we had to take a positive, that we have this guy. So even if we do start Odegaard, and even if we do start other players like Fede, who also had a fantastic game again, we still have a quality player like Modric on the bench that if we lose a player like we lost Kroos to injury just for maybe two more games, we have that guy as backup, and he's still an amazing asset to this team. Somebody on Twitter wrote it, and I think that's right on the nose, which was, it's going to be, you know, when we lose Ramos to age, when we lose Modric, those guys, along with Cristiano, along with Benzema, those are the guys that are going to be incredibly difficult to replace. We already see how difficult it is to replace CR7, to replace Cristiano. But those guys, too, are going to be incredibly difficult to replace. It's just, you know, they were otherworldly talents that have won us, you know, three Champions Leagues in a row, and have gotten Madrid five Champions Leagues in the last, you know, I forgot the stat, but basically, you know, it's, they've been the ones who've done it. So losing them, losing that group is what's going to hit us even harder. Right now, I guess taking it on the chin a little bit, saying, you know, taking a little bit of these shots while our young players are getting more time and growing into the game, while these guys are still here, I think we're going to be fine. Don't be crabs in a bucket. Like, once again, I said Fede Valverde was everywhere. Again, total machine, running up and down, basically making runs like a winger. Even though we were playing the 4-4-2, he was just, you know, making that runs like he was a forward. He was, I think he's got great pace. So if we do play the 4-4-2, which I was saying that I feel like we lose pace, he's still a huge asset for us. To speed up that game on the right-hand side while Mendy does overlapping runs on the left-hand side. So we don't lose, you know, in the speed entirely. Although this time we had Marcelo, but Marcelo's quality in his creativity, aside from like his defensive, you know, issues, does really well for us. But if we're lacking speed, you know, Mendy on the overlapping run, and we're playing a 4-4-2, I mean, Mendy on the overlapping runs and Fede going up and down the right flank. I mean, that is something that we can do that helps us have more speed. And then we have obviously Jovic and Benzema up front adding more firepower. Although I do feel that maybe Benzema, since he's not used to playing with another striker up front, sort of feels out of it a little bit. And that's kind of what looked like happened maybe a little bit in this game, but I don't think it was really that. I just think he had an off game because he looked great the other day when Jovic was playing, and, you know, was causing defenders fits. And so he was able to go off and be creative on his own and open up that way. So I think those two guys are going to be a headache. You know, honestly, if we play the 4-4-2, they're going to be a headache. I think, you know, the other person, though, that I feel is just not playing well at all, and he was slow, his passes were bad, he just had a bad game, was Isco. And I just, you know, Isco hasn't been the same Isco that came to us a while back. I remember Isco was somebody that would make me so frustrated when he would play, because it's like he always had to do more dribbles than was needed. So he'd always, you know, make more dribbles than were needed before giving away that, you know, before making that final pass. So what would happen is he'd lose the ball or make a pass that went, you know, went awry. And I don't know, he slowed down. You know, people are talking about Jovic, and I don't want to get harp on people's like weight and whatnot, but people are getting on Jovic, which I don't think Jovic is overweight. He's just a massive dude. The dude is like just really muscular. And then you have people are getting on Hazard, who I also don't think Isco, compared to the Isco we saw a few years ago, has definitely put on weight. And he's definitely slowed down. There were two times in the game where you could see that the passes, sure, they were a little long, but I've seen other players make up, you know, when a pass goes a little bit long, they can make up that the overshot pass with their speed. And he wasn't. He was slow, man. And, you know, I don't want to hate on the guy because I don't hate on anybody that's a Madridista, but honestly, like, he's probably right now he's probably the guy that I would like to probably feature less, you know? Quality on the ball, sure, but he just did not have it in this game at all. Here's the other thing. Besides, so Carvajal wasn't in the game. I thought that Odriozola was another bright spot. He made a few mistakes, but he had hustle. He ran back. He had some speed, and he was looking to recover any time that he made a mistake. And I really think he's an asset there that, you know, we have a good backup for Carvajal. He's another young guy. And I really feel that he was a bright spot in the game. He wasn't a negative. I think seeing him perform well was a good thing, and giving some rest to Carvajal, who came in later in the game, it was solid. Now, with that said, I like the 4-4-2, but obviously with the changes that Zidane made to go, he made the changes to go to a 4-3-3 by bringing in Asensio and by bringing in Vinicius. And that was where I was talking about. Definitely, we obviously, when we do the 4-4-2, we lack speed. We lack speed. We lack that. And this is the other thing. Vinicius is the only player right now on the Real Madrid team, and I was talking about it in the last podcast, that has that recklessness. But the recklessness, I use it in a positive way, because it's a fearlessness. It's like he does not fear taking on defenders. He does not fear when he has to do one-on-ones, or he sees the box is stacked. He'll go in there and he'll try to make plays. His biggest problem is his finishing, and sometimes making bad decisions in the final third to make a solid pass when we need it the most. But that destabilizing, that threat that he is to those defenders making those runs is what sets Vinicius apart from any other person that we have on the team right now. I think the only person that can do that, but he no longer has the speed, is Marcelo. He did that in this game, going up the left flank and doing the overlapping runs. He did it. But he was not, obviously, he doesn't have the same speed. He doesn't have the same, he's not as aggressive in this as much because of that lack of pace that Vinicius has. Vinicius is a destabilizing factor. Asensio, not as fast, obviously, but he's got that, he's got that incredible left foot of his that when he cuts inside, he can also open up and make plays. And he did, So having them both in the game at the same time was very, very solid. And you can see it changed the dynamic so much so that we ended up scoring the goal. But if it were me in Zidane's shoes, which obviously I do not have the tactical acumen or the football acumen that Zidane has, but Benzema wasn't having a great game, so I would have taken Benzema off, left Jovic in the game, and brought in the 4-3-3. Let's try to see how he does in a 4-3-3 when Benzema isn't around. But obviously, you're not going to bench Benzema, but the idea is, let's see how he does too, when the pressure is on him to be the target man, but he's also assisted by two talented wingers that have speed. So I'd like to see that too. If I were to tell you which one I prefer, obviously, because I want to see Jovic play more, I prefer the 4-4-2, but I feel we're more threatening when we have the 4-3-3, but Benzema has to be having a great game and Vinicius has to improve on his score and his finishing, obviously, unless we have Hazard and he's firing on all cylinders and we have Asensio, which we already do. If we have those two guys, I think it's going to be a little bit tougher, because if they're playing in a 4-3-3 and Benzema's doing well, it's going to be harder for Jovic to make some inroads into the game. But if Benzema isn't firing on all cylinders and Hazard is, and Asensio's doing well, I see no problem in continuing to give Jovic minutes to come in as a backup, because I feel like he is going to find his sights. I think he's going to score against Levante. Let's give him a shot to score against Levante, if Zidane plays him. But I think we're going to see goals from him soon, and I feel like it's one of those things that it's like a faucet that once you turn it on, we're going to start seeing it. Once again, Marcelo still has it. That was another observation. And Courtois is at his world. He's at his world-class best again. I think he's definitely, he's always talked about, his saves. When he was at Atletico, when he was at Chelsea, and he once again is now showing it, had a terrible season for Madrid when he first came, but he is back and he is saving our asses pretty much in every game. So he still has it. So I guess my last observation there is when Vinicius and Asensio enter the game, the pace of it changes. Raul seems a lot more dangerous, more comfortable, but lacking firepower, of course, because you no longer have, two wingers that are incredibly adept at scoring, especially right now with Vinicius. He's very threatening, but he doesn't have that nose for goal just yet. I think he will. I think he will get it. But we definitely need Hazard once we have him and we have Asensio. I think we might be able to see them score more. And but Jovic might be a little bit, how would I say, he'd be a little threatened by that too, because if they go back to the 4-3-3, I don't see Zidane starting Jovic over Benzema unless Benzema is having you know, any sort of fitness issues. So I mean, it, you know, like I said, if we like, I like the 4-4-2, but I prefer the 4-4-3-3 when it comes to just like our speed of the game, which actually makes it a decision about really who are we going to have in midfield, you know, because Casemiro, I think, is an immovable force, of course, when we're playing the 4-3-3. But so now your choices are, you know, Fede, Kroos, Odegaard, Modric. Yes, Isco, you know, he didn't have a great game, but, you know, there are other times that he does supply us with some creativity. So it's really about, you know, finding that good balance in the midfield. And it just remains to be seen, like, how Zidane is going to come out in this game against Levante on Sunday and what we're going to see. Are we going to see Jovic again? Is he going to give another run out and see if he can actually score some goals? Is he going to go back to the 4-3-3? Levante is a tougher team. You know, I like Morales. You know, I think he's a great player. Levante has some quality on their side. But this should be another game that we should, you know, be able to win and should be able to start showcasing more of Real Madrid's firepower, you know. So that's kind of where my analysis is. What do you guys think? You know, let me know your thoughts. Do you prefer the 4-4-2 with Jovic and Benzema up top? Do you prefer a 4-3-3 with Vinicius and Asensio as the wingers? How would you like to start the games normally? You know, let me know, you know, how do you like to see them line up? I did feel like they're still getting used to the 4-4-2. It seemed a little bit more, because Zidane plays more of, it's like it moves from being a diamond to a flat, you know, 4-4-2. It moves quite a bit. So it seems like they're not entirely comfortable in those positions yet. But, you know, I just want to know from you guys, what do you think? Do you prefer the 4-4-2 or do you prefer the 4-3-3? Which I feel like once Zidane changed the tactics to the 4-3-3, it's almost like the team knew what they were just used to it. You know, they were used to playing that way, and it's just felt like everything gelled more, a lot more than it did in the first half. But once again, we're missing that firepower, and I want to see Jovic. So, you know, it's now deciding those two things. All right, guys. So with that said, let's go into our La Liga results recap before we head out. You know, just want to make a pretty quick podcast today because, you know, it was a midweek games. So they were midweek games, and we have more games coming up this weekend. So let's get into the recap of all the games that happened this match day four.
It's time for your La Liga results recap.
All right, so that's this is our Liga results recap. So let's go over the games. Obviously, on Tuesday, which was Tuesday, September 29th, Real Sociedad faced Valencia. Valencia got back to their winning ways and they won the game 1-0 with a goal by Maxi Gomez. Getafe did the work, put three goals past Real Betis, who we struggled with, although we put three goals past them too, one of them being their own. But, you know, we did not get scored upon. They did not get scored upon by them like we did. Real Betis did get a red card, but it was towards the end of the game. So Getafe beats Real Betis 3-0 with two goals from Angel Rodriguez and Mark Cucurella. Then you have Huesca against Atletico Madrid. And this is the other thing that I've been thinking about is that, you know, Atletico Madrid, another huge team in Spain, obviously, in La Liga, has a 0-0 game against Huesca, who is a team that just got promoted. And nowhere in the press, nowhere are they just beating them down about how they were at a 0-0 game against a newly promoted team. But when we had a 0-0 game against Real Sociedad, people were all over Madrid. you know, when we have a when we win against Betis, and you know, obviously it was a gritty game, you know, a rough game, and we win against Valladolid, which was another rough game. They're all over, but we're still winning, you know, and it wasn't against bottom table teams, you know, or teams that were just promoted. So Atletico Madrid, you know, after their 6-1 win over Granada, who just played to get a spot in the Europa League today and looked great against Malmo, it's just, you know, having scored 6-1 and put 6 past them and then getting nothing, you know, against Huesca, you know, maybe they should cut us some slack. And but like I said, once again, man, Spain, man, the Spanish media is crabs in a bucket. He's got to pull everybody down. Doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't even matter if like Barcelona does well, they'll find an issue, although they don't, because I feel like Barcelona does well and everybody is like saying like Messi's back and Ansu Fati's the greatest, da, 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 da. And Barcelona's just total crap. I mean, sorry, Real Madrid is just total crap. So it's like, you know, whatever, man. It's just that bias that you just wonder, like, what is, you know, they just want to see him fail. People want to drag down the best. You know what I'm saying? So, all right. So the next game, which was on Wednesday, that was Villarreal played Alaves. The score was 3-1 for Villarreal. Villarreal, you know, looked much better in this game. Paco Alcácer scores in the 13th minute, 67th minute. And Gerard Moreno made the other goal by penalty, actually, right at the end of the first half. And Edgar Mendes made the only goal for Alaves. And that was Villarreal versus Alaves. Next game was Eibar versus Elche. Elche, also one of the recently promoted teams, gets a win over Eibar. Elche's only goal coming by from Lucas Boye. And that was played in Ipurua at Eibar Stadium. So they lost that game at home. Then Real Madrid, of course, we already went over that game. Real Madrid versus Valladolid. Real Madrid scores a goal by Vinicius for a 1-0 win. Athletic Club played today, Thursday, against Cadiz. And Cadiz actually walked away with a 1-0 win. Athletic Club not looking good. It's tough to, you know, obviously I'm not an Athletic Club fan, but it's tough to see, you know, tough to see a team that's always kind of been one of the big, is one of the big teams in La Liga, or was for many historically. They're not doing well at all. And Cadiz, recently promoted team, also coming out with the win again. 1-0 that game, that goal was scored. It was an own goal by Unai Lopez for Athletic Club. Two red cards, actually. It was a they were down to 9 men, and they pulled off that that win. Carlos Acapó and Álvaro Negredo were sent packing in that game. Then Sevilla versus Levante, the goal came in the last minute. I thought they were not going to get that goal. They came in the last, well, in extra time, in the 92nd minute. Youssef El-Nesyri, the guy that a lot of the Sevilla fans were just, you know, drilling because of the fact that he missed that those two clear shots on goal against Bayern Munich for the UEFA Super Cup, which, I mean, you can't really criticize somebody for losing a one-on-one with Neuer. It's not always easy to beat that guy, so good to see him get him goal, I guess, and kind of shut up all those people that were on his back, you know. But Sevilla walking away with the 1-0 win against Levante. So Levante, you know, did a good job keeping them at bay. Although it was 65% possession and 16 shots on goal for Sevilla one shot on target for Levante. Only 3 shots taken total. So we'll see how we do against Levante. I think we can walk away with a better win than Sevilla did, and don't have as much trouble as they did. And then Barcelona plays against Celta de Vigo. The Ansu Fati coming up big again, scores a goal in the 11th minute. You know, just picks up on a bad pass. A lot of people arguing that he was, you know, Messi was offside, so the goal shouldn't have counted, and that he was he caused the goal to happen. I don't know, man. I think that one's a little even as a Madridista, I think that call would have been harsh. So I think Ansu Fati scored a legal goal there. Then everyone's celebrating. Messi's back with this amazing goal, and it was actually an own goal for Lucas Olaza. Not to say Messi's dribble and everything weren't great, but calm down, guys. Calm down. And then Sergi Roberto in the 95th minute scored. And then they were up in arms because, oh my God, Clement Lenglet got sent off in the 42nd minute with a red card. Oh no, you know, it's just... The two fouls he committed were completely yellow card offenses, and he got sent off. You know, yes, sometimes the VAR helps Barcelona. Sometimes it helps Madrid. Sometimes it helps other teams. I've seen people smacked in the face completely in other teams, whether in other leagues, whether it was the Premier League or Serie A or La Liga, and the referees don't bat an eye and VAR doesn't do anything. So... Culés, man, stop crying about it. Clement Lenglet got sent off, and he's been sent off before. So it's not like this is new for him. And they just want to bring up Ramos and everybody, you know, because you guys know he's a beast. You know, Ramos is the beast, man. He's a leader. But he's got the most red cards in La Liga history for a reason. So it's not like they, you know, it's not like they never give red cards to Ramos. So calm down, guys. 3-0, Barcelona wins. You know, I'm always going to root against them, but... I watch all their games, of course. So, who doesn't? Every Madridista does. But I just like to hear them cry, man. And as much as I get excited right now, I think Madrid, I'm still banking on that Madrid is going to have a better season. So that's it. That's it for our La Liga results recap, guys. And really, that is kind of the end of our podcast at this point. I don't have much else to say. I think I've said enough. I think I've spoken enough already. This was episode 4 of the podcast. We were reviewing match day 4 of La Liga. And once again, my name is Eric Rivera. I am your host for Y Nada Más, the Real Madrid podcast. And just remember, you can find us at Y Nada Más on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And then you can also find us at ynadamas.net, which is on the web. And then you can also contact us directly at info@ynadamas.net. Those are all the places you can contact us on the web and everywhere. And that's pretty much it. Please, if you're here listening to us on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to us on your iPhone, and you can hit that subscribe button, and you can give us those, you can give us those ratings, whether it's a 5-star, a 4-star, a 1-star, whatever, you know, as long as you give us some ratings and let us know if you like the show or whatnot. It helps us rise up in the ranks of the podcasts that they have there in Apple, which is, you know, one of the biggest podcasting libraries. So, you know, that helps us rise up the ranks there and get more visibility. So really, please, guys, just help us out. Thanks for the support. A lot of you guys have been supporting, you know, and listening to the podcast. So I really appreciate that. And we really appreciate here, you guys listening to the podcast. So, and then I also wanted to say, one more thing. The other thing I wanted to bring up was there was a really good article, by Managing Madrid. And let me pull it up real quick because I thought it was good. Cause I'm totally loving Luka Jovic right now. So I really feel like he's somebody to look out for. So the one thing I wanted to say was check out this article at managingmadrid.com. It's by, I don't want to kill his name, but it's Matt Wiltz, I guess. It's spelled Matt Wiltzy, but it's Matt Wiltz. It's at Matt Wiltz 4 on Twitter. I have seen him. I do follow him. But he's tracking, he does a really good in-depth analysis of tracking Jovic's movement off the ball. During Real Valladolid to sort of highlight how good of a game he did have, even though he had those missed chances, but he really did create some opportunities. And I think we're finding the Jovic that we all want to see. So check that out. I think we're all Madrid. So, you know, I don't mind helping out other podcasts, other other blogs or whatever that are talking about Madrid. So like I said, don't be crabs in a bucket. You know, don't drag other people down. Don't drag the team down. We're all Madridistas. We want to see them do well, but it's too soon to be all doom and gloom and too soon to be worried about them doing terrible. You know, they're not They're not terrible, you know. I think they're just getting adjusted, and I'm totally confident we're gonna get there, and we're gonna start seeing some more goals, and we're gonna start winning. So let's relax, and I'll talk to you guys Sunday. I will be releasing the next podcast, obviously after match day 5 and after the game with Levante. So tune in, and thank you once again for listening to Y Nada Más.
This has been Y Nada Más. Al Real Madrid Podcast.